Previously on Thomas and the Bible, there's more pointless back and forth between Job and his advisors. They say nothing, and then God comes down and begins to explain the entire situation to Job in a series of pointless questions that he, of course, would answer no to. Would probably answer no to if he got a chance to speak, though he doesn't because God just keeps talking and Thomas yawn count of 27. Thank you, Harley, for that awesome summary. Really glad you sent me that one, even though I recorded the next day, so it would have been very hard for you to send that, but you did. You definitely 100% sent that, so that's good. Thanks for that thing you sent. And you sound a little different, but I'm sure it's just because of the hurry you were in since I gave you like no time to send me one. So yeah, thanks, Harley, again. Okay, so we're on Job. This is episode 119, I think. Moving right along, and we're on Job 39. We're gonna finish Job, so that's pretty exciting. And then we're gonna go to Psalms. So we're gonna read three Psalms. Oh, I know, so funny. I pronounce the P. I'm just hilarious. Hey, I wonder if this sounds better because I actually finally got my room put together a little better and was able to put up some really terrible soundproofing. Not soundproofing, but like echo containment and so forth. So maybe it sounds a little better. I don't know. We'll see. Also, let's see. Oh, I have some assholes making noise outside and I absolutely have to record now because I have no time any other time. So if you hear some dicks like clapping... What's the sound of one dick clapping? Then that's some people who are outside at in the dark for some reason. I have no idea why, and they're making noise. So that sucks. But nothing I can do about that. Okay. Usual plugs. Check out Atheistically Speaking. New episode comes out tomorrow. It's very good. It's actually very. It's kind of deep. I think it's very. I don't know. It's something we've been wanting to talk about for a long time, and I think it turned out really good, and it's worth checking out. It's sort of a deeper, like, life question. It's, you know, it's on purpose and how atheists live, knowing that there's no God or no afterlife and stuff. Or at least our take on that. And then we actually really want some feedback on this episode. So yeah, definitely check that out. I think you'll like it. Okay, that being said, and if you do like it, you of course want to write an iTunes review, huh? Yeah. Okay, that's it. Let's get into it. this is still God just reminding everyone how badass he is. Job, he's just asking Job a million questions that Job would, if he had a second to speak, would just say, no, yeah, I get it. You're powerful. I get it. But God doesn't let him get an edge in word-wise. So, I don't know. I thought that would be funny if I reversed that, but it wasn't very funny. But it made about the same amount of sense as the normal saying makes. A word in edgewise? What does edgewise mean? I've never really got that word in. I get a word in. I get that. He wouldn't let me get a word in. I don't know. Why isn't that enough? Isn't that fine? He wouldn't let me get a word in. What do you mean? Do you mean edgewise or do you mean like corner wise? Like what is edgewise? Edgewise. Like, I guess, does that mean like you couldn't even like edge one in? He was talking so much that you couldn't even just squeeze one in, I guess. I guess that makes sense. Maybe that makes it a little more of a little more of an idiom rather than just saying what it is. okay, so maybe that's it. But anyway. 39. Knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth, or canst thou mark when the hinds do calve? I don't even know what that means, so no. You got me there, God. Canst thou number the months that they fulfill, or knowest thou the time when they bring forth? My chair's a little squeaky these days. I gotta get some WD-40 on this thing. It's making noise, sorry. They bow themselves, they bring forth their young ones, they cast out their sorrows. Their young ones are in good liking, they grow up with corn, they go forth and return not unto them. Who hath sent out the wild ass free? Or who hath loosed the bands of the wild ass? Whose house I have made the wilderness and barren land his dwellings? He scorneth the multitude of the city, neither regardeth he the crying of the driver. The range, yeah, the calf is like, driver, stop crying, please. I don't know what any of this means. The range, but again, it's all in the same category of thing. And the category is things God does, things that people back then thought God did, just said, you know, God's responsible for, and God's like boasting. And all this somehow is meant to justify, you know, God just killing your whole family, taking all your stuff, or letting Satan do it. So that's to keep in mind, that's what all this is supposed to be about. Pretty cool, huh? Pretty neat, I'd say. Canst thou bind the unicorn? Oh, also unicorns exist. That's cool. I didn't know that. But canst thou bind the unicorn with his band in the furrow? Or will he harrow the days, the valleys after thee? Wilt thou trust him because his strength is great, or wilt thou leave thy labor to him? Wilt thou believe him that he will bring home thy seed and gather it into thy barn? Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich, which leaveth her eggs in the earth, and warmeth them in dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them? I would have been like, God, I'm going to stop you right now. Before, it was just things that I know I don't do and you're better than me. Now, I don't even understand what you're saying. So, yeah, okay, the answer is you win. Yeah, I get it. I get it. Hey, I got one. If you're God, can you just understand that I get it? And like, you don't need to keep going on and on and on and on. It's like, it's so annoying. So that's one thing I'd say, God, I have over you, is that, you know, I'd probably have the social adept. The social aptitude to realize when I'm just going on and people are getting tired of hearing me talk. That's what I'd say if I were Job. I'd be like, maybe one of your, I mean, you are perfect, God, but one of your many flaws, one flaw I can see is that you just talk and say the same thing over and over. And your book sucks. I read your book. It's not very good. It's okay for, you know, first effort, but it's not great. Because God hath deprived her of her wisdom. Wait, this is still God talking, right? It's got to be. I don't know. He just talks in third person. Sounds like something God would do, to be fair. Because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. What time she lifteth up herself on high, she scorneth the horse and his rider. Hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paweth in the valley and rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed men. He mocketh at fear and is not affrighted. Neither turneth he back from the sword. The quiver rattleth against him, the glittering spear and the shield. He swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage. Neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpets, ha, ha. And I don't know what that means. He smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains and shouting, doth the hawk fly by thy wisdom? So I think here, actually, well, I'll just finish. It's almost done, this chapter. And stretch her wings toward the south. Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock, in the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she. So God is saying, yeah, he's still talking. He's still talking. What he's saying here is he's saying like, oh, don't, you know, I might need to just check. Is that too loud? What he's saying here, I'm doing a live mic check. Screw it. I don't care. I don't give an S. I'll give an F. He's saying that. Let me regain my thoughts. Oh, so basically everything that humans don't understand about animals right now, whoever wrote this is saying that's God. So, like, how do you explain that eagles, like, can see really far away and get their prey? How do you explain that animals, they always know what to do, and they, you know, like, God's taking credit for all of that, I guess. What the hell is going on outside? I don't know. I'm not sure if you guys can hear that, but so it's a little weird that I mean, actually, it's not weird. It kind of makes sense back then. Prior to Darwin, quite a couple millennia prior to Darwin, I can understand thinking God is responsible for all that, because they have no idea. So whatever, but now we know better. So all this has been proven wrong. So that's cool. It proves that whoever wrote this didn't know about it, about evolution, and therefore was likely not talking to an all-powerful being. I think proves that. People always say, well, you know, God appeared, you know, he had to speak down to them because, you know, he had to speak to their level of understanding. So they hadn't discovered stuff yet. So he had to sort of, you know, go down to their level. It's like, why? He could have just, I mean, why? First off, why would he make it so that it took us thousands of years to come up with medicine that makes people's lives way better? Why didn't he just create reality? As I've said, people always forget when they argue for God. People always forget that God isn't bound in anything. He could have made reality any way he wanted. So religious people are looking at reality and saying, ah, because of this part of aspect of reality, God had to do this. And it's like, well, no, he could have created reality such that we had all the inventions we needed from the start. Like, we had medicine. He also could have made it so we don't get sick so much that, you know, he could have made a really nice system of, like, if you do something wrong, then you get a little bit sick, and then that way you'll do. But the whole thing becomes pointless when you look into that, because what would be the point? Anyone who has perfect information and is not biologically defective, like in their brain, doesn't have some condition or something. Anyone who has perfect information is going to make the right decision. Anyone who makes the wrong decision, they either didn't have the information or there's something wrong with them, you know, like in terms of committing crimes and all that, or they were born into poverty, or they, you know, there's always some reason, and God could have just taken away all those reasons. And then it makes you think, well, why would God even bother creating life in that way? It's pointless. And then you realize, oh, if there was God, he wouldn't create people, I think. I mean, he wouldn't. What would he want with creating people? It makes no sense. It's completely stupid. Okay, let's go to chapter 40. Moreover, I'm sorry, I always have to adjust in my chair. The Lord answered Job and said, yeah, this is more lording. He's lording over him. Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered. Oh, Job finally gets to talk. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me, that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God? And they flex. He's like, yeah, check this out. He has like a little flag tattoo on his bicep. He's like, you got an arm like God? Oh, yeah. He has the woman, and he makes a dance or whatever. That's what I would do if I were God. Or canst thou thunder with a voice? Canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Oh, yeah. Does like a Gaston voice. Deck thyself now. Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold everyone that is proud, and abase him. Look on everyone that is proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. Then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. He's like way ahead of you. My own right hand saves me every night. Especially now that I'm all sick, you know, no one wants anything to do with me. Then I will also confess unto thee that thine, no, I read that. Behold now a behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth grass as an ox. Lo now, his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar. I know cedars have tails. The sinew of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Surely the mountains bring him forth food, where all the beasts of the field play. So now he's talking about like this behemoth. What the hell is that noise? God, so annoying. Yeah, I saw something about this in the notes that I read. He's bragging about some like big monster he made. I don't know. We haven't found any fossils of that or anything, but he made some like big giant man or something, and he's bragging like, look at this, look at what I created. Check this out. So God's still bragging. I don't know why God has so much pride. You know, he has such a low self-esteem. I don't get it. His bones are strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Surely the mountains bring him forth food. I read that. He lieth under shady trees in the covert of the reed and fens. It's like Bigfoot or something. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. He taketh it with his eyes. I can't wait to move. His nose pierceth through snares. All right, that's the end of 40. How many? 41. I mean, hopefully this is the last. No, it's probably 41 or 42. I can't remember how many books of Job there are. Or chapters. So yeah, that's kind of funny. God's bragging about this like thing, this like monster he made, because that's what people thought of God back then. He was like just this pretty powerful thing that can make stuff. That's about it. He wasn't infinite love or, you know, all this other stuff we think he is nowadays. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook? Oh, now he's talking about his Leviathan, you know, controlling abilities, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down. Dude, God, Job already answered, like, no, can't do it. I'm not even going to talk because you're so great. How long? How many? When will be enough, God? When? Will he make any supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Wilt thou play with him as a bird? Or wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears? Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Behold, the hope of him is... I'm sick of this. Shall not one be cast down even the side of him? No, he is so fierce that dare stir him up. Why then is he able to stand before me? Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Who can discover the face of his garment? Or who can come to him with his double bridle? So he's... Now this is like his dinosaur that he rides around or something. It's so funny. It's just hilarious that this is what, like, God has to prove himself. And again, I know this is even supposed to be fiction to religious people, but this is what the authors thought of God as. There's no reason why this poetic version of God would not reflect reality. I mean, the reality that they believed in, I don't think. I mean, I really don't see why they would choose a different, like, they're justifying God's right to do whatever he wants with all these things. Like, he's so powerful, all these things he's done. So I don't see how you could argue that these weren't meant to be taken seriously as his abilities. Sorry. Yeah, someone's having a party or something. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together. They cannot be sundered. Now he's talking about Smaug. 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 By his kneesings, a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindles coals, and his flame goeth out of his mouth. In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be removed. I shall not be moved. His heart is as firm as stone, yea, as hard as a piece of nether millstone. When he raiseth himself up... God, look, you kind of protest too much, I'll say, God. Like, yeah, we get it. Okay, you're powerful. I understand. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold, the spear, the dart, nor the habergen. I don't know. He esteemeth iron as straw. I love that. Esteemeth iron as straw. That's like saying, you know, he's saying like iron is like straw to him. He can just bend it like straw. But I like the word esteemeth. How do I esteemeth iron? Nah, like straw. I barely even esteemeth it at all. And brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. He's seriously bragging about some, like, Godzilla he created or something. Slingstones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of his spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things upon the mire. I just picture, sorry to get a little crude here, but what I picture this entire time is if any human were telling you all this, you'd just be making the jack-off sign with your hand the whole time. Like, yeah, okay, look, listen to this freaking jack-off talking about this thing he's made. Like, he's just bragging. You know, like, it's funny how back then that was seen as like, oh, it's so powerful. Like, he's bragging about this monster he made. But I just, the entire, if I were Job, I'd just be doing the jack-off sign. Like, okay, all right, buddy, I get it. Yeah, okay, all right, yeah. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. Because I, seriously, if I were Job, I'd be like, dude, just, like, okay, are you going to have him eat me or what? Like, what are you trying to prove here? You're so powerful, you need to prove stuff to me? I don't get it. He maketh a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon the earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. He beholdeth all high things, and he is king over all the children of pride. Okay, 42. God, is there another one? Fortunately, I can't tell. Okay, this is the last one, Job 42. Let's see how long it is. That was pretty short. Jeez. So Job doesn't really get a chance to say much, but we'll see. Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything. Yeah, why didn't you say that 20 minutes ago or 2 days ago, whenever this started? And that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee, and against thy two friends. For ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job. Hold on a sec. What? Who is talking? I thought Job answered the Lord and said, now I know it's kind of things. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee. This is really bad. I don't know if God started talking again. So Job says, Job answered the Lord and said, okay, that's clear. Job said, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Yeah, okay. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Hideth counsel without knowledge. Therefore have I uttered and I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now mine eye seeth thee. Okay. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, I thought Job was speaking. That's what I don't get. After the Lord had spoken these words to Job. Sorry, that threw me off a little bit. I don't know. It must mean that that's still referring to the last chapter, but I don't. Job just spoke. Job just spoke. And then it said, after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job. What the hell? All right, whatever. We'll just assume it's talking about last chapter. The Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. So God is saying to Eliphaz and the other people, like, you're idiots, you're not speaking about me correctly, you're just wrong, and I'm mad at you. And Job apparently did speak correctly, so. An offer up for yourselves. Okay, therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For him I will accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Namathite, went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto all of him his brethren and his sisters, and all that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him all, over all the evil that the Lord brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. It's like, I wear max one earring. I'm not going to wear 60 earrings or whatever this is. I mean, it's nice, but maybe you guys should have talked and, you know, coordinated the gifts you were going to give me, because, like, I can't. Again, one earring's too many for me. Personally, I'm not a big earring guy, but even if I were, say, like, even if I just decided to be like, hey, I'm an earring guy now, I don't need 40 to 50, 60 earrings, you know? Like, what? They're all the same. They're all gold. They're just gold, you know? They're not even different. Can you guys, you know, I just passed a test with God. Can't you guys coordinate your presence a little bit? So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he, oh, okay, good. So it doesn't matter that the other ones were dead. He's getting new ones. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Pitch. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. Well, what good does that do him? It's not like he gets to have sex with them, does he? And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job, and I would think a reward would be like if a bunch of hot girls were not his daughters, and then that would be a cool reward. But what is it? What is it really that big of a reward to like have a super hot daughter? Ooh, cool. I get to like have people coming after my daughter all the time. That's good. Thanks, God. Give me an ugly, smart daughter. How about that? Or just a normal looking, like intelligent, skilled daughter. How about that? After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his son's sons even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. So that's the end of Job. So what are we taking away from this? Let's see. So Job, so I'm sad we didn't go back to the Satan. Or was that his name? Was it Satan? I can't remember what it actually called him. Didn't call him the devil. Just called him Satan. And as far as I could tell, so takeaways from Job. Satan is just a buddy of God's. There's no backstory. We've read the entire Bible thus far, right? And there's no hint that Satan is anything other than like just a pal of God's who hangs around the earth. You know, he's like, he walks around. Let's see what else. So God is such a dick that if someone suggests like, hey, let's mess around with your friend, like, yeah, okay. Oh, also, never be the most good or whatever. You want to be second most good, because otherwise God's going to F around with you just for fun. You know, Satan's going to convince him to. So that's another lesson. And what other lessons are there? I guess mainly that this is ridiculous, and there's no way that anyone who wrote this actually talked to God. So that'd be, I guess, just a minor takeaway. Okay, we're going to go on to Psalms. I love the idea, too, that, you know, you killed all your kids, but what? You just have more kids. You didn't like those kids anyway. Who cares? it's just ridiculous. So, yeah, we're on Psalms. I tried to read a little background of Psalms and didn't find all that much. I thought there'd be more. Well, obviously there's stuff out there, but I didn't, without doing a ton of research, it was just basic stuff. Like example, Wikipedia. King David wrote a lot of the Psalms. Not sure which numbers. They're divided into four or five different kinds. I think the first ones are going to be hymns, just songs of praise for God. So that should be really, really boring. So this might be a lot of reading and then nothing. I don't even know. I honestly have not even looked at these because who cares? If they turn out interesting, I'll prepare more ahead of time, but I don't think they're going to be that interesting. Okay, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Well, that's friggin' brilliant. That's some incredible wisdom. So don't be ungodly, even if you believe in God. This is just fantastic. Like, if I read that, I believe, 100% I believe in God, right? Okay, I totally believe in God. Just assume that. If I read this, I'd be like, yeah, duh. Yeah, I'm not going to be in the counsel of the ungodly. Do I need a reminder? Yeah, duh. I believe in God. They're ungodly. Why would I be with them? I don't need a specific psalm. Standard. So, yeah, it's ridiculous. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Yeah. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Well, okay. That you maybe need to write, because I would not do that. I still wouldn't do that even if I read it. But yeah, I'm not going to meditate on the law. And keep in mind, guys, the law that we're talking about here that believers are supposed to meditate in day and night is the crappy law that we've read in the beginning of the Bible that's like terrible. So that's pretty cool. This isn't like, oh, meditate in the law of the Lord, as in New Testament, cool, like happy-go-lucky Jesus, you know, which I always hear about. So yeah. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Yeah, no, that happens. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in their judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So that's the end. So I put that in the category of no duh. Like, if you believe in God, then yeah, you believe that, you know, you got to be good, right? I mean, what do you believe in God of this Bible, but then you think like, nah, he doesn't care about anything. I don't know. It's hard to, again, like I said last time, it's hard to even engage this on its level because it's just so, it's just completely fundamentally from a position written from a standpoint that is just not even relatable. Now, I think even to religious people nowadays, it's probably not even relatable. I'm curious if people read Psalms a lot, and maybe there's only one of like 170 or something, and whatever it is. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So far, and I'm sure it'll continue like this, or hopefully it won't, but who knows. So far, all of this can basically be summarized as such. Godly people get rewarded, ungodly people don't. Like, that's pretty much the summary. So, from that logic, though, I mean, really what you'd want to do, because there's no way to disprove that. Like, you can always say, oh, you know, Steve Jobs died. Bill Gates. Yeah, so Steve Jobs actually was a sinner. He was ungodly. But Bill Gates, either he hasn't been punished yet, or he's really, whatever he's doing is right in the eyes of the Lord. So what does that give me? That gives me nothing. That's nothing. So he either is, something bad's going to happen, in which case it'll be, oh, he was sinning all along, or he's good. And either way, I don't know what the future is going to be. So I don't know if I should emulate what he's doing or if I should not, you know, like how am I going to know? I mean, by the logic of this, you would want to look at all the best people ever, like all the most successful people ever, and do exactly what they did, because that apparently is godly. Because this is all saying, if you're godly, you get everything. If you're not godly, then you die and you lose all your possessions. So clearly that's not true. I mean, there have been obviously plenty of successful people who have completely opposite beliefs and practices, and it's just ridiculous to think that you can gauge, you know, look at the world this way. That ought to do it for this, right? I mean, am I going to need to say anything more about this? Psalm 3, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Oh, this is from a first person. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I'm going to look that up. I don't know what Selah means. S-E-L-A-H. What does that mean? What does that mean? 74 times in the Hebrew Bible. I don't think I've read it, though. 71 times in Psalms. There you go. Difficult concept to translate. It probably either means a liturgico-musical mark or an instruction on the reading of the text, something like stop and listen. That's so funny. So it looks like Selah is supposed to be like, whenever that word comes up, there's a musical interlude. So this is like sheet music or something, or it's like a song. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten me, all mine enemies, upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Okay, so that's the end. And like I said, that was more of the same. That was more of just, it's okay. Things are tough, but it's okay because God kills everybody who's bad and rewards everyone who's good. And it's, I don't know, is this to be taken seriously? Is this book really to be taken seriously? I wish I could argue with someone about the Bible who believes in it. Because maybe they would, I mean, they always have to have some sort of justifications for everything, but I'm starting, because the more I read it, the more I start to believe, like, oh, no one believes in this, you know? And I'd be curious to see someone who actually believes in this book. Okay, so thank you for listening. Usual plugs, check out, follow at T and the B on Twitter, facebook.com/TandtheB, facebook.com/atheisticallyspeaking, and check out that show. It's going strong, no signs of stopping. And if you can, please donate. It'd be very helpful. I'd help recoup some of the costs involved with the show. Don't worry, I will never be anywhere near what I've spent. So don't worry about that. All right. See you guys next time.